we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running another wonderful week in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. Do you not consider yourself blessed to be able to live in such a wonderful, wonderful place? I know I do. We absolutely love it here. We have lived places that were colder than here, hotter than here, less friendly than here, and they didn't have the beautiful scenery that we have. People say, you've got hurricanes. Well, not very often. And you know what they have often? Ugly weather. Snowstorms, heat that is way more intense than here. I consider myself blessed to the Lord for him to have chosen for me to be able to serve him in this wonderful, wonderful community, and I hope that you have as well. One of the greatest inventions of all time is the air conditioning system. It was one of the things that helped to make Florida a desirable place to live, because people would come down here, but it would be so humid and so hot that they wouldn't want to be here because of the intensity of the heat. But air conditioning helped change all that. The problem with air conditioning is it doesn't endure forever, and so your AC system needs some TLC from time to time. And this is a wonderful time of the year to make sure that your system is prepared for when the heat comes back around again, because it most certainly will. And so if you'd like to make sure that your coils are clean and everything is working the way that it is supposed to, you can give the folks at Creative AC Solutions a call if you're in Central Brevard County, 321-759-3284. You can have a problem with your system and it manifests during the downtime of the year. And at that point in time, I don't want you to complain. I want you to say, God, I want to thank you that it didn't happen during all of that intense heat. One time I was driving a long way frequently. It was a trip I was making every week. And on the last trip over, I crossed I-95 on 528, and I said, God, I just want to thank you. The vehicle that I was driving was a 1996 vehicle. This would have been in 2013. And I said, God, I am just so thankful that you kept this vehicle in such working condition that it didn't give me a bit of problem the entire time. 20 months I was making that journey on a weekly basis, and it endured all throughout that time. And the next day I woke up and my fuel pump had gone out. I had a full tank of gas in there, and I wasn't complaining. I was like, God, thank you. That could have happened on the road at night in the middle of no place, and I could have been up a creek. And I thanked God that the problem manifested. If your AC lasted the summertime, make sure you take care of it. Consider it an investment and not an expense. With Creative AC Solutions, they will come out, and I'm not even saying it's going to cost you a whole bunch of money. They may come out and say, everything checks out fine, you're in great shape. That's music to your ears. If you do have a problem, they might be able to fix it and it not cost very much at all. With the supply chain issues now, you are much better finding out in advance if you're going to need something repaired, to where if there's a delay, they might have a better chance of getting that part in before you really need it come April or May. Give the folks at Creative AC Solutions a call, 321-759-3284. So, today we are going to launch into our search for truth, And we're I'm going to for the next several broadcasts, I'm going to make an appeal to you that it's not just a truth of a past generation. It's not just a truth for your generation. It's not just a truth for future generations, but how we respond to truth now does impact future generations. Before I get into that, as I always do, I went and reflected on the last program, and the last time I was talking about timeless truth, and it's true in all cultures. I will tell you that when my daughters were in college, they were both in college at the same time, and when they went, I instructed them both this. I said, now, for the next 4 years of your life, you're going to be living in an intellectual, academic culture. I said, what I need you to understand is that that culture does not necessarily translate to the real world that you're going to be living in. And so you're going to hear a lot of theories. You're going to hear a lot of things proposed. But many of those theories that you're going to hear do not translate into the real world. They do not work well. They are not timeless, eternal, godly truths, because they're not going to function outside of that little false environment, that little bubble that was created. They went to a fine school, but I was just trying to tell them, you know, you want to embrace things that are going to be true everywhere. And so I just wanted to throw that in there for last Friday's program. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 20, because I want to give you a bad example before we go on and experience some other aspects of what generational truth. God's truth is generational. We talked on Friday that it's His truth, that it's a forever truth, and that it is true all over the globe. Well, today I want to share with you it's true generationally, and how we respond to that impacts generations of our families. So 2 Kings chapter 20, this is after Hezekiah had been healed. There were people from Babylon that had sent there was an envoy from Babylon that had come, and Hezekiah showed them everything in his house. Verse number 14 talks about the discussion that he and Isaiah had after those people had left. Verse 14, then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say, and from where did they come to you? So Hezekiah said, they came from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house, and there is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons, whom will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days? So at some point in time, we're going to talk about some of the things that are partnered together with truth. We're going to touch on one here today, and that is peace. Okay? So if you want true peace, then you need to operate in spiritual truth, godly truth, eternal truth, because that's where peace is going to manifest. God is Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord, our peace. Peace comes from him. He's the source of peace. And so in order for there to be true eternal spiritual peace that manifests in every area of your life, you've got to embrace the spiritual truth. So Hezekiah's actions, though they seemed innocent enough, Isaiah said, you really shouldn't have done that. Now, here is what I have learned in my walk with God. God's never wrong. So when he says that I have done something for which I need to repent, I can argue with him, but if I win the argument, I've lost. If I lose the argument, I've won. Because God's truth never changes. His perspective never changes. When he says that I have violated his heart, his will, his commands, I have violated his heart, his will, his commands. There's no sense in arguing about it. So I need to say, okay, God, I messed up. So Isaiah says to Hezekiah, what have you shown them? And Hezekiah said, I have revealed to them everything that was valuable in my house. He didn't really know these people. He just knew they came from a long way off. They came from a country called, Babylon. You know, I don't really know where it's at. And he went and revealed everything. Now, they were there because of his miraculous healing. But that did not mean that Hezekiah had to reveal where all of the weapons were. That did not mean that he had to reveal where all of his treasures were. Guess what happens when Nebuchadnezzar comes and invades Judah and captures Jerusalem and sets it on fire? They literally peel off every treasure and they carry off the instruments that were used in temple worship. You know why? Because they knew where they were. They knew what they were. Because Hezekiah had shown them, and Hezekiah is confronted by Isaiah, and Isaiah says, you have done yourself generational damage because you did not act with wisdom. He said, some of your descendants are going to be carried off into captivity, and they are going to be made eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. That means there is going to come a certain time when some of your generational line is going to be cut off because of your actions today. So, here is the impact truth of the day, and that is we need to make sure that our actions today of ignoring spiritual truth or, not really seeking it out, that we do not do our future descendants spiritual damage because of how cavalier we may be towards the truth of God. Okay? My goal for my kids has always been the same thing. I pray that they will be able to accomplish more for the kingdom of God than I ever was. So I had a couple of speakers, one in October, one in November, and they both knew one another, although I didn't know that when I scheduled them. I scheduled one as an evangelist, scheduled one as a missionary, and both of them came from generational ministry households. Both of them have accomplished more in ministry than what their parents did. One of them was multi-generational. They were, the husband and wife were both third-generational credential holders. That means that their parents held credentials. That means their grandparents held credentials. And they were touching the nations. But one of the reasons that they were so effective is because their parents or grandparents had embraced spiritual truth, and they were walking in the blessings of generational truth. You know, they would talk about, you know, missionaries that would come and sit in their house, and they would just sit there and soak up the wisdom that would be dispensed because they were being hosted in the family home. In fact, one of them said, whenever a missionary was in our house, we had special permission from our parents to stay up as late as we could to hear as much from the missionaries as we could. He said, the only thing was we still had to get up on time the next morning and go to school. There wasn't a compromise of actions. And so there was that generational impact. Hezekiah, all of a sudden, after God has healed him, becomes extremely self-centered. And he says this, at least there will be truth and peace in my day. There are many people who, when it comes to their reaction to the truth, they are looking for, well, what is going to be the consequence of this when it comes to just me and my family in this day and time right now? And as long as that prognosis doesn't look too bad, then they're okay with that. But Isaiah comes along and says, it might look good for you now, but future generations of your own descendants are going to experience serious negative ramifications because of your cavalier attitude in the position of authority that God has given to you. So, parents, again, we're in 2 Kings chapter 20. We're talking about Hezekiah. And I just want to challenge you. Are you in pursuit of the timeless, eternal, universal truth that belongs to God? Are you in pursuit of that so that it makes a difference in your kid's life? I don't know if I told you what my goal for my kids was, or it is, and that is I want them to accomplish more for the kingdom of God than what I do. And what I mean by that is not that I don't want to do much, but I want to set the bar very, very high. So conversations with them were not conversations about what would make me feel good. Conversations were, how is this going to impact them? So recently I was encountered with a spiritual truth. I heard it in a message. I went, I studied it, I verified it, I embraced it, and here's what I did. I went to each one of my children's family, and by that I mean I had the conversation with my children, and I said, I want to encourage you to avail yourself of this resource, because I would have been able to help so many more people if at your age I had been exposed to this timeless truth of God, this universal truth of God. And so I want to set you up to succeed. Do you realize that your search for spiritual truth has direct bearing on how your future generations, your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids, how they are going to succeed spiritually? You have that ability. I don't care if you're rich or you're poor. I don't care if you're male or you're female. What I care about is letting you know about the true wealth of the kingdom that is available to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we will seek it, it is going to become a manifest reality in our life, and we can pass that on to our kids. We can pass that on to our neighbors, our co-workers, and we're none the poorer for the dispersal of that spiritual truth than if we had kept it to ourselves. We're actually better off. And so I want to throw out this challenge to you today, that you embrace spiritual truth in such a manner that it not only impacts you positively, but it impacts future generations positively as well. I'm gonna take you over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 73. So, you know, pretty close to right in the middle of the book of Psalms, the 73rd Psalm. There it is, found it. And normally we talk about this in such a way. I've done something here. Got to break out my research notes, because I've evidently transcribed something in the wrong manner. So let me move on to the next one, over in Isaiah chapter 38. Before we do that, let me just see if I forgot a digit. Yes, it is Psalm 73. We'll go back to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, but it's not verse number 5. It's Psalm 73, verse number 15. So let me set the stage. The psalmist here is Asaph, and he's struggling with the prosperity of the wicked. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in violence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare in all your works. Let me give you just a brief synopsis of what was going on here. The psalmist was struggling because he saw the people of God suffering and he saw the wicked prospering. In fact, he saw those who were prospering and wicked negatively impact those who were righteous and godly, and he was struggling spiritually. He said, my feet had almost slipped, not in a literal sense, but in a spiritual sense. His spiritual footing was compromised, and he's like, it almost did me in. And he said there was a temptation that came during that time where he could not adequately process why the wicked were experiencing the good things and the righteous were experiencing challenging things. And he said during that time, he was plagued all day long, and every morning he was chastened. And he said, if I had said, I will speak thus, if I had spoken out of my frustration, if I had spoken out of my lack of understanding, if I had spoken out of my emotions instead of speaking spiritual truth, he said, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. So as we are looking at the generational impact of spiritual truth, the word I want to give you to launch you into your day with, or as you're on your way home, is watch your mouth. Make sure that the words that you speak are spoken not out of your anger, not out of your frustration, not out of your lack of understanding, but speak out of spiritual truth, because the words that you speak are going to either have a positive or a negative impact on the generation that you are around, but also the future generations to come. Let's be true to the generations that God has positioned us to make an impact for. Have a great Monday. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
By his nail-pierced hand. to be